from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Spring Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Thursday evening, April the 17th, 2014. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service, teaching on Breaking the Curse of Death.
Come on up, Carla. I have a funny saying, when anytime money's mentioned, and I'll say, it's not about the money, and my husband always says, well, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub. Have you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life? And the angel says, we don't use money where I come from, and the other guy says, well, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub. And it does. It takes money. Okay. Well, this camp, the spring camp, marks my 10-year anniversary for teaching. First time I taught was 10 years ago this camp. It's been a ride. And it really, it seems like yesterday that I was here the first time, and it really has gone by fast, but I appreciate Lake Hamilton, and you will too. Okay, tonight I'm going to talk about breaking the curse of death. I realized this some time ago when the Lord showed me that when we get saved, we deal with the sin issue. We all are very aware that the sin issue is dealt with through the blood of Jesus. But so is the death issue. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And at the end, we're going to break it off, everybody. Okay, and also, I used to just have a list of scriptures, and I would thumb through the Word and look them all up, and sometimes it would take me a while to find them. I've started printing out the scripture, and so I will just read it from my notes, and if you want to look it up, you can, and if not, just jot it down, and you can look at it later. It saves a lot of time for myself. Okay, I'm going to start with Luke 5:17. It says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So I want you to know tonight that as the word of God comes forth, the power of God is present. His word, he said it, he sent his word and healed them. His word contains the power to heal you as you hear it. So at any time tonight, if you hear something that just really quickens in your spirit, go ahead and receive it and just get healed tonight. Okay. Romans 5:12. It says, wherefore, as by one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We all are born with a curse of sin and death on our lives, even though we never did anything. That used to be hard for me to understand. King David understood that in Psalm 51. He said, in iniquity I was born. And I used to think that meant his mama was a bad girl. But no, he understood. We all come here with sin on us and death because of sin. So we're kind of born with a death sentence on us. Okay? Death is a ruler spirit. It is the ruler spirit over all infirmity, all sickness, diseases, and afflictions. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Jesus made it possible for that curse of sin and death to be broken off of us by shedding his blood on the cross. And he shed every drop of his blood for us to be set free from the curse of sin and death. That's cool. We can not only be alive, but we can have life eternally. When we were created, it says, well, don't let me get ahead of myself. Okay. I want to tell you what the word rule means. It says that we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And that word means to rule. Reign means to rule. It means literally or figuratively like a king. Probably from another Greek word, through the notion of a foundation of power, a sovereign, abstractly, relatively, and figuratively, like a king. We are to reign in life by Christ Jesus. What he did brings us to a place where we can have life, have success, and have life abundantly. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, some translations leave out that second part. It just says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Although they left out, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you are a born-again Christian and you are walking after the flesh, I'm sorry, there is condemnation. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we should stop right now. We've already done this. But when I got to this point, I just had to stop and say, Lord, thank you for what you did. If it were not for what Jesus Christ has done in my life, I would either be dead already, because I would have taken my own life. At one point, that's where I was. Or I'd be in a crumpled heap somewhere, good for nothing, just defeated because of the things that life brings. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. And that, through Jesus Christ, we can also overcome those things that are in the world. Romans 5:18, therefore, as by the offense of one, again Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. See, not only were we born in sin with a death sentence, but we were condemned to hell forever away from God. So God sent Jesus. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You didn't become a sinner because you sinned. You got here a sinner. You were made a sinner by what Adam did. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Because of what Jesus did, his blood made us righteous. There's nothing we can do to get righteous other than accept what he did for us on the cross. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Well, what does that mean? You know, it's not, you don't really want to do a thing until you're told, don't do it. Which is exactly what Adam did. He only had one don't, and that was to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So naturally, he ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was the rebellion. Anytime you do something God said don't do, you are in rebellion. Okay, Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm just going to make this point. I'm doing an in-depth teaching of this at a later time. But there is a message of grace that is flooding into the church today that I call greasy grace. It's greasy grace because they take advantage of it. You know, if they're told, He already knows every sin you're going to commit. He has His grace covers it. I even have somebody who sat under that say, so I don't even repent anymore when I mess up. That is scary, and it's deception, and it is widespread in the church. Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other way to have eternal life except through Jesus Christ our Lord. You cannot get there through works. There are other messages that will tell you that as long as you do this, 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 and this, you're going to go to heaven. You know, I told somebody one time, they were telling me how good they were. All the things they did, and I do this all the time, and I do this for other people and everything. I'm a good man. And I said, yes, I would agree. But unfortunately, good is not the requirement. Righteousness is. And apart from Jesus Christ, there is none. He is our righteousness. Genesis 2:7-9. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And in Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, image is a representative figure. We are to be a representative figure of Christ and in his likeness, which is a resemblance, a copy. We are to be like copies of Jesus. Genesis 2, okay, it says that, so we all know that God was an eternal being, right? And if he made us in his image and after his likeness, were we not created to be eternal beings? We were. But sin changed that. But when you come back under the blood of Jesus Christ and receive him, you enter back into that eternal being. That's why it says, O death, where is thy sting? I'm not going to die. My flesh will. But the thing in me, my spirit that makes me alive, is just going to trade places. That's all. We're not going to feel it. There's really nothing to fear in death, but we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. Okay. Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground the Lord made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now this is when death came in. They ate it. Did they drop dead? No. But this is what the word die means. The Strong's definition is literally or figuratively worthy of death. Webster's definition is to stop living, subside gradually. It's a slow, gradual diminishing of. What does that sound like to you? Aging. That's what happens to us. We slowly, gradually diminish. Another word is decay. Decay means gradual failure of health. Now, aren't we told that as we grow older, this is going to happen? The world tells us these things, and forever we have heard it, and forever we have watched it happen. Therefore, we think that that is the way it's supposed to be. But it's not. Gradual failure of strength, soundness. You know, when you get old, your mind is going to slip. So we start having slips, and then we start proclaiming those slips. We have cute little names like a senior moment or something like that. No, I'm not having senior moments. I'm not gonna confess that, and we'll see what that does later. Okay, prosperity, a gradual failure of prosperity or of excellence or perfection. Decline to a worse or less perfect state. To cause to fail, to impair, to bring to a worse state. That's usually what people expect as they grow older. It, decay is what causes cavities in your teeth. It causes fabrics to dry rot, wood to rot, clothing and buildings. You know, you see a building that's just left to itself, it starts to decay and tear down. Deuteronomy 8:4, when God was talking to them about their time spent in the wilderness, Deuteronomy 8:4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now that's pretty amazing. In the natural, that their clothes didn't wear out, and their feet didn't swell, and hey, they were walking. They didn't get in their car. They were walking. Deuteronomy 34:7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And that means his natural force was not decreased or lessened. Psalm 105:37 says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Do you know how many people were in that crowd? A bunch. I bet in this small group right here, we couldn't say there was not one feeble among them. But we should be. Now, feeble means weak, destitute of much physical strength, infirmed, sickly, debilitated by disease, debilitated by age or decline of life, lacking in force or vigor, as feeble effort, not bright or strong, in other words, faint, imperfect, as feeble light, feeble colors, not strong or vigorous, as feeble powers of mind, slow, as feeble motion. Now, these were all supernatural happenings in those days because they were under the care of God. They were under God's care. They were not in line with the natural forces of nature. Now, if we are under God's care, shouldn't we be living a life that is not in line with the natural forces? Yes. See, I was never told this. I mean, this has just been several years ago that I realized this, and I thought, wow, now I got saved when I was 23, so if I had known to start dealing with this death thing, maybe I wouldn't be wearing glasses today. Maybe I wouldn't be missing some teeth. You know, who knows? So that's why I want this y'all to know this, so that you can start taking authority over that death thing. We're going to break it tonight. But still, even though I've broken it off of my life, when I'm taking my shower, I'm breaking death off of my body. Yeah. Yeah, you just keep, it's a way of life. You know, you can't just, some things you can do once and be done with it, but death is a daily thing. You know, you're told you start dying the minute you're born. Because that's what's at the end. Okay? Even, now you think about it. God fed them in the wilderness. Manna. Now, they could go out and get manna every day. And he said, don't try to store it up. Well, you know, some of them tried to store it up. And it got worms in it. Okay? Except for the Sabbath. They could gather enough for 2 days. And guess what? It didn't get worms. See, just obedience. Obey God. What about the plagues? In Goshen, where God's people were, the plagues didn't even happen. When it was darkness in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. When there were flies, there were no flies in Goshen. When you belong to God, He is able to cause kingdom principles to manifest in your life, right here on earth. We call them miracles most of the time. But miracles are the norm in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, I have learned, is a realm within a realm. We live in the earth realm, But the kingdom of God is in there. And we can live in the kingdom with God right now. It's not a far away time when you get to heaven. No, we can have that now. Jesus walked in the kingdom when he was on this earth, and he demonstrated the kingdom of God to everyone he was around. I paid attention to those. Okay, John 17:14, he said, this is Jesus' prayer to God. He said, I have given them, his disciples and everybody who would listen, thy word, and the world have hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17:16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, we live in this world, but we're not of the world. We live in this realm, but we're not of this realm. We are supernatural beings in a natural world. Okay, another word for death or dying is degeneration. And that the definition for that is a growing worse or losing of good qualities, a decline. Like, we have some words with degeneration, like macular degeneration. We've heard of degenerative disc disease. We've heard of Alzheimer's or dementia, which is a degeneration of the faculties of the brain. Osteoporosis, which is a degeneration of the bones. So here's what we know. They ate from the tree that they were told not to. So death came upon all mankind. And death means to die literally or figuratively, to be dead. Deprived or destitute of life, without life, inanimate. When my kids were little, they would say, so-and-so, they'll be talking about a teacher or a person. And they had dead eyes, Mama. Dead eyes. And I've seen those dead eyes. But I thought it was interesting that that's the way they described. No life. No life in those eyes. Empty, vacant, not enlivened as a void space. Dull, inactive, gloomy, still, not lively, not resembling life. Tasteless, vapid, spiritless, without natural force. In a state of spiritual death, meaning void of grace, or lying under the power of sin. Impotent, weak, feeble, lacking strength or power, unable by nature or disabled by disease or accident to perform any act. Decayed in grace, not proceeding from spiritual life, not producing good works, as faith without works is dead, in James 2. Proceeding from corrupt nature, not from spiritual life or a gracious principle, as dead works, Hebrews 9:14. Dead, again, means to deprive of life, force, or vigor. So we see that everyone born after Adam and Eve were conceived in sin and having a curse of death upon them. That's Psalm 51:5, where David said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So today we're going to deal with that curse of death and break it off of your life. Now you may be thinking, because some people have said this to me whenever I would talk about this, that was taken care of when we got saved. That it is under the blood, it was broken at that time. And, you know, theoretically that's true. But I liken it to having a fire extinguisher in your house. Now, you may be frying something on the stove and some grease splatters over, and you have a fire on your stove, and somebody in the kitchen says, oh, there's a fire on the stove. Well, don't worry about it. I've got a fire extinguisher. So they don't do anything, and the fire gets bigger and bigger. But if you don't pick up that fire extinguisher and apply it to the fire, it can burn your house down. Just because you have a can of paint and a paintbrush does not mean your house is painted. You have to appropriate what Christ has done. Remember, Romans 5:12 said, By one man sin and death entered in. And Romans 8:2 said that by one man, Jesus, we were made free from the law of sin and death. Now, a law is something prescribed, a principle, a regulation, a rule of action laid down and enforced, like gravity. If I throw these papers up, throw them out there, they're not going to go up. Because there is a law of gravity on the earth. And when you drop something, let go of it, it goes down. That is a law. So in Romans 8:2, where it says, "For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death," the laws that are mentioned is the law of spirit, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is a law that when you enter into Christ Jesus, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in you. And there is a law of sin, and there is a law of death. Let's look at Hebrews 2:9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Jesus tasted death for every man. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death." Do you hear that? "Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And the word "abolish" means to do away with wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Completely. It means to put an end to. It, in Strong's, it says bring to naught or to make void. Jesus tasted death for all of us so that we wouldn't have to have that death thing going on in us. You know, when Moses died at 120, it wasn't because he was sick. God had placed the limit of 120 years in Genesis chapter 6. So when he reached 120 years, he had to die. Plus he disobeyed God. Okay, so why is this important? Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that is the devil." Hebrews 2:15, "And deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage." And bondage is slavery or involuntary servitude. Involuntary. None of us volunteer to be fearful of something. But we have all our lifetime been subject to bondage. See, that's why whenever you discover a lump, you run to the doctor. Because you're afraid of death. We all have, unless it's dealt with through Jesus Christ, a fear of death. None of us want to die before our time. And some would say, no, now that death, that's speaking spiritually. But Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you." How many of you in here have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and received his Spirit? Then it says, "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." So his Spirit not only makes your spiritual man alive, but it works from the inside out and it quickens, and that means give life to that which was dead. So see, what does death do? It dies. Cells die. Things begin to die. But if you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you, it has the ability to give new life to your flesh and blood body, not just your spirit. Quicken means to commence, begin, or start. It's act active growth and development. So see, we can be quickened and given life to what? Your mortal bodies, that which is subject to death otherwise, your flesh and blood body. So how old are you? Just think, how old are you right now? Death has been working unhindered in your body since you were born. And it should have stopped whenever you received Jesus Christ, because he abolished death. He tasted death for all of us. Psalm 103:1, it's a psalm of David. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." See, there are some benefits in Jesus Christ that we've yet to discover. You know, he has left us an inheritance. God showed me so clearly one time that the church today is really no different than the Israelites, the Hebrews. Moses delivered them out of bondage, and they came right up to the entrance of the promised land, but they didn't enter in. Christians, Jesus came and delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and we came right up to the cross, but we haven't entered into the fullness. And there's more. Psalm 103:3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." All. So why should we have disease? Diseases in the world because of sin. But he shed every drop of his blood. And I really believe if we could get a reality of that, it would so knock, I mean, sin couldn't even stay in our bodies. I mean, sickness, I'm sorry. Psalm 103, verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." That word youth means infancy to adolescence. And renewed means made like new. Now, maybe our mouth has something to do with why our youth is not renewed as the evil. Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength." See, we wait upon the Lord to renew our strength. But if we wait upon the Lord, then our strength will be renewed. Proverbs 14:27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." A fountain of life. Psalm 36:7, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink from the river of thy pleasures." That sounds pretty good. Psalm 36:9, "For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light." Now, the definition of fountain is a reservoir containing a liquid that can be drawn as needed. See, it's always there. It's always got water in it, in that fountain. And it's a fountain of life, which means fresh, strong, lively, springing alive, merry, pleasant, and agreeable. I really believe it's the fountain of life, the fountain of youth. You know, the whole world is out there looking for the fountain of youth, the fountain of youth. It's him. He is that fountain. Proverbs 3:1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So what benefits are mentioned here? Length of days, not old age, but advanced in years. Psalm 92:13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Flourish means to break forth as a bud. That's what's happening all over the earth right now. Things are breaking forth into bud. That is to bloom, generally to spread, specifically to fly as extending the wings. Okay, 92:14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Again, not old like we know it, but advanced in years. They shall still bring forth fruit. I have an aunt that's 92 years old right now. Her husband died last year and she moved into an assisted living place. And she's teaching a Bible study in that assisted living home at 92 years old. She is still bringing forth fruit in her advanced age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now, fat doesn't mean what we think either. It means anointed, rich and fertile, and satisfied. Isn't that beautiful? And flourishing. Flourishing is from an unused root, meaning to be green, to grow or advance with strength. By analogy, new. Figuratively, prosperous, green, and flourishing. Thriving, prosperous, increasing, to the point of making a show. You know, it's beautiful. You notice it. It's making a show. Okay, it said that we will have long life and peace. We'll have favor with God and man and good understanding. Departing from evil, you will have health to your navel, which is the center of strength. The definition of health is what will make you whole, or the cure. Marrow to thy bones. Marrow means moisture, refreshment, restoration by a renewing supply. Restoration. That's all in there. That's life. Proverbs 15:30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Again, that fat means anointed. Anointed and fat. Anointed, rich and fertile and satisfied. If a good report makes the bones fat, well, what do you think happens with a bad report? Just the opposite. Sometimes you could do a word study on bones, on marrow, bones. I think it's envy, rottens the bones. You know, there are some, if you have bone trouble, look up the word bone, read all those scriptures and see what might be going on. You can do that really with any word. Your words are important. What's on your tongue? Forget what's in your wallet. You keep what's on your tongue, right? You might have something in your wallet. James 3:6 says that your tongue sets on fire the course of nature. Have you ever thought about that? You know, the course of nature is pretty strong. You could have a crack in a concrete slab, and there can be a root of something, and it's going to find its way to that crack and come up through that crack. That's how strong the life force is. The course of nature. If it sets on fire, the course of nature, well, just think about a fire. You could take a match and just strike it to one dry pine needle. And before long, you've got a forest fire. That happens in California all the time. They have those fires every year. Proverbs 16:30, it says, moving his lips, he brings evil to pass. You see, we can say, let me try to think of one. Well, I just thought of one recently, but I'm going to use that one exactly. But, you know, we can say, you'll never get out of that. You know, that can be, or I'm just so stupid, I'll never be able to do anything. You know, those kind of things. That's a bad report to your own self. You're actually putting a curse on your own self. Here's one. Here's a really poignant one. My father-in-law has Alzheimer's. Now, when he was a younger man, and I would be talking to my in-laws, or I may tell my father-in-law something, and it doesn't get to my mother-in-law. So my mother-in-law will say, never tell him, he can't remember anything. Okay, that was said all the time. He can't remember anything. He's got the worst memory. Don't tell him anything. Well, one day I called over to the house, and I was talking about something, and he said, well, let me bring the phone to Mama because I can't remember anything. And I thought, I was just disgusted. I told my husband, I said, you know, he had heard that for so many years that now it's coming out of his mouth. Well, let me take the phone to her because I can't remember anything. Well, guess what today? He can't remember anything. Now, is that a self-fulfilled prophecy? Be very careful what you say out of your mouth. You know, people are saying, I can't see anything anymore. I'm just getting old. Well, my mother had it, and my grandmother had it, so I'll probably have it too. You know, and there are generationally inherited diseases that death is the ruler of. Or you can, my mother, this is, I'm freezing to death, or it scared me to death. I mean, everything is attached to death, you know, constantly. You know, Mama, you need to repent. Philippians 4:6. Finally, brethren, this is what the word says. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Too many times we think on the things that are negative. Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So you're going to get what you say. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So death and life are in the power of our tongue. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, I get tickled sometimes when people say, I'm going to give my testimony. I'm going to give my testimony. It's like the only thing that can be a testimony is when you got saved. I hate to tell you, but every word that comes out of your mouth is a testimony. You're testifying to something. So be careful what you say. Be sure you are speaking words of life, especially over your children. Speak words of life to your children. That becomes a blessing. My daddy used to always say of our firstborn son, you know, new parents, and we were very attentive to the new baby, and every time he would make a little sound, we'd run over there, and my daddy would get the biggest kick out of that. Of course, my daddy had a little bit of an inferiority complex, and he had some negativity, and he liked to poke fun at you. And he would say, that baby's smarter than you and Mike put together. And, of course, that was supposed to be a dig to us. But at the same time, he was putting a blessing on our son, who's pretty smart. Everybody says, how did he come out of y'all? I said, well, if you understand biology, there's a recessive smart gene. I had a recessive smart gene, and Mike had a recessive smart gene. But really and truly, it was his. I mean, he was the grandfather. And it's important what you say to your children and your grandchildren. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Don't be sorry when you have sorrow that leads you to repentance. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. See, when we have godly sorrow, it's going to lead us to repentance and a change. But when you don't have Jesus, you're just sad to death. There's nothing to help you. Proverbs 15:10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. So don't hate correction. love correction, submit to correction, rebellion, aids death, sorrow works with death, worry and fear produce death. Our bodies were created to live in peace and in harmony, a state of being at ease. When we get out of our place of peace, we find ourselves in a state of dis-ease. That's where the word comes from. Dis-ease, disease. Disease is an alteration of the normal state. See, when in the garden, there was no disease. The normal state was healthy. So disease has brought an alteration of the normal state that impairs the performance of the vital functions of illness. So we're going to repent tonight. We're going to say a prayer of repentance, and then I'm going to just start casting things out that death has been a ruler spirit of in your life. So if y'all want to kind of move around a little bit, why don't we stand up, in fact? We're almost to the end. So let's just all say this prayer. Father, from the time I was born until this day, death has been working in me unhindered. Today I confess that at times I have unknowingly cooperated with the spirit of death by agreeing with the world, agreeing with doctors, with negative words spoken to me by well-meaning friends, parents, teachers, or anybody else. Even words that have come out of my own mouth, cursing myself or cursing others with death, with sicknesses, with diseases, afflictions, words of fear. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I repent today. One of the definitions of the word repent is to change your thinking. We're going to have to change our thinking. We've been raised up under a lot of really bad habits, so we have to change our thinking. I want to speak words of life. I ask you to help me to watch the words of my mouth. Help me to retrain my tongue to speak only words of life and edification. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, today I come in agreement with your word, and I now break and renounce the curses of generationally inherited diseases off my life. I bind the spirit of death and break its power off my life in the name of Jesus. I bind and break the power of the spirit of infirmity and command it to leave my body now in the name of Jesus. I fall out of agreement with Satan and the spirit of death. For it is written in Romans 8:2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And again in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Thank you, Jesus. I now receive the spirit of life. I now receive your spirit, the spirit of life. I now receive the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I receive the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for your Spirit of life. Thank you for abolishing death in my life. And thank you for eternal life. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I take authority over the ruler spirit of death. I bind you now and break your power, and I command you to go. I speak to everything that is working death in my body. Leave me now. Infirmities, go. Leave me now. Destruction, leave me now. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are abolished by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, now y'all can sit down. For those of you who've never sat under deliverance, it's very simple. When Jesus went anywhere, when the presence of God showed up on the scene, the demons would cry out. So they would leave. When he would cast them out, they would leave with a loud noise, a loud voice. Sometimes they would fall down as dead. All kinds of things happen. So don't be concerned if things begin to move in you or whatever. Every once in a while, I'm going to say, take a deep breath and blow out. They'll leave on the breath. Sometimes your nose will run, your eyes will run, you'll cough, you'll belch, whatever. Just don't worry about it. Okay, Father, I thank you for giving me power over all the power of the enemy. I thank you for the ministry of casting out demons in your name. I now take authority over all familiar spirits of death, familiar spirits of infirmity, sickness, disease, familiar spirits of weakness, fatigue, pain, all physical manifestations and symptoms, and I give them leave now in the name of Jesus. You go. All familiar spirits, go. The familiar spirits that have followed each of these down through their mother's bloodline, I give leave to all those familiar spirits that were generationally inherited that have followed each one of us down our mother's bloodline. Go in Jesus' name. I command all familiar spirits that came down through your father's bloodline right now, give them leave and command them to go. Familiar spirits are working out here. The demons are working in your flesh. So sometimes it empowers. I found this out because sometimes you can cast a demon out of somebody and they get free from it, but they still kind of continue to do the same things because those familiar spirits are still drawing them to whatever the thing was. So I just gave leave to all those familiar spirits. Okay, now I take authority over all diseases of the eyes, all cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, go. All blindness, nearsightedness, farsightedness, lazy eye, blurred vision, whatever your eye malady is, eye cancers, all eye diseases, go in the name of Jesus. Jesus shed every drop of his blood to heal every disease of the eye. I speak to all diseases of the brain and of the mind, all mental illness, bipolar, I bind you and break your power, depression, suicide, you go in the name of Jesus, Tourette syndrome, all forms of autism, I bind you and break your power, schizophrenia, Alzheimer's, forgetfulness, dementia, go in the name of Jesus, all tumors, strokes, aneurysms, go in the name of Jesus. All arrested development, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. And all cancers of the brain, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to all diseases of the blood. I bind you and break your power right now. All leukemia, all blood cancers, go in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, I break your power and command you to go. Hepatitis, all forms of hepatitis, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Sickle cell anemia, go in the name of Jesus. All circulatory problems, I speak to all circulatory problems, go in the name of Jesus. Blood clots, I bind you and break your power. I command every blood clot to be dissolved in the name of Jesus. All bone diseases. I bind all bone diseases and break your power. Osteoporosis, spinal defects, degenerative discs, scoliosis, bone cancers, all bone cancers. I speak death to you in the name of Jesus from the root out. All feet problems, problems with the arches, problems in your heel, your toes, bunions, corns, all those things, that problems with the feet. I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Rheumatoid arthritis. I come against all arthritis in the name of Jesus. Jesus shed his blood to annihilate and abolish every sickness and disease. Now you go. All pain and arthritis in your joints, all spurs and bone abnormalities, I bind you and break your power. I command you to go right now. All muscular diseases, muscular sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, weak muscles, muscle spasms, muscle cramps, Lou Gehrig's disease, all hernias, all muscular diseases, I bind you and break your power and command you to leave God's people. Just take a deep breath and let it out. All digestive problems, acid reflux, indigestion, go. All constipation, I bind you and break your power. Irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, diseases of the mouth, esophagus problems, go in the name of Jesus. All stomach problems, all problems in the stomach, I break your power and command you to go. Hemorrhoids, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power. All cancers in the digestive tract, you go in the name of Jesus. Colon problems, intestinal problems, and digestive cancers, all cancers having to do with the digestive system, I break your power right now. I break that death curse in Jesus' name. All organ diseases, diseases of the heart, go in the name of Jesus. Liver, the kidneys, all lung diseases, go. All asthma, allergies, COPD, go in the name of Jesus. All skin problems, skin diseases, go in the name of Jesus. Rashes, in Jesus' name, you go. Female organ problems, male organ problems, go in the name of Jesus. Gallbladder problems, pancreas problems, all organ cancers, be healed right now in Jesus' name. I break that curse of death of cancers in the organs. You go. Diseases of the mouth, rotting teeth, gum disease, all mouth cancers, you go in the name of Jesus Christ. Psalm 91:3 says that we have been delivered from noisome pestilence, which means any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? So I speak death right now to all viral and bacterial infections in your body. In Jesus' mighty name, you go. I speak death to them in Jesus' name and command them to be healed, your bodies to be healed. Now I loose the blessings of God. I lose healing, be healed in Jesus' name. I lose life and wholeness. I say live, be made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. I lose peace in the name of Jesus. I lose peace. I lose strength and vitality in the name of Jesus, a quickening to your body in Jesus' name. And now I speak a reversal of damage to every effect that death has had in your life and on your body in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak resurrection life to every dead and dying cell in your body in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, y'all have a blessed sleep, and we'll see you here in the morning at 6 o'clock, and we'll take care of some more. God bless you. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.